Hey there, coffee lovers. Do you want to make your morning cup of Joe something special? Let's talk about Joe Bean Coffee, a gem right here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador. I've been a longtime fan of Joe Bean. Kathy, Dina, and the whole team are passionate about their coffee and this city, and it comes through in every cup of Joe Bean coffee that I brew at home. Joe Bean has been a part of Rochester for years, over a decade, building lasting community and a sense of belonging for everyone who loves coffee. Next time you need beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. Even better, subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy, and you'll receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule and never be without your favorite coffee. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care.
Good morning. Thank you for listening, and please accept my apology. This is going to be a little short, and I'm a little under the weather today. I might have to go into some coughing fits as well. I came down with something on over the weekend, and man, I just like a cold, you know. And for those of you who don't have or it's been a while since you had kids, remember when your kids are little, you get a cold once every 3 weeks. It's not uncommon for me to have a cold anymore, unfortunately, at least once a month. It's, you know, it's fine. They're just colds, but they're annoying. And occasionally I go into a coughing fit. So again, I apologize. And if it happens too much here, I will, I'll cut it short. It was a nightmare because last night I had the honor of emceeing the 38th annual Chocolate Ball. EPI's Chocolate Ball. This is Empowering People's Independence. This is the local charity that funds research and aid and camps for children battling epilepsy, seizures. And it's one that's near and dear to my heart. I have a good friend whose son has seizures, and he was actually the honorary chair last night. It's also just a really cool concept. I love the chocolate ball. I think it's a really cool idea. But I basically did it last night from that podium in front of almost 600 people at the convention center, knowing at any moment I might go into a coughing fit. And that's terrifying because when you go into a coughing fit, you need a second, you know, like you're talking, you're coughing, and then you need a second, catch your breath. When you don't have a second to catch your breath and you just keep coughing and trying to push through and cough and push and cough and push, you might throw up. So anyway, that's what I'm talking about. I don't want to do that. Yeah, great event, though. I really do love the chocolate ball. They moved to the convention center this year just because, honestly, once you get to 600 people, your options start to become limited on where you can go. Convention center's great, though. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that place. They have amazing hospitality. I really just think the world of the convention center. I don't like how occasionally the convention center gets sort of thrown into the mix of conversations of venues in this city as the boring venue. There's advantages and disadvantages to that. I get what people are saying. They're saying, look, there's so many venues that have charm. I mean, you know, one of my favorite would be the Arbor venues Afi and Zach's venues. Every one of those venues has so much charm. The advantage when you are holding an event at a place that comes with all kinds of charm, right? Or like with Big Brothers Big Sisters, Oak Hill, right? Where we have that one, and there's so many other examples. But the benefit of all that charm that comes with a room is that you don't have to do a lot of work to decorate it. You still have to do some work, but the room comes ready to be amazing. The room is already amazing just by showing up. Convention Center doesn't have that, admittedly, right? They're just big, blank rooms, and you have to do the work, or you have to hire out the work to do the decorations, the setups. That said, depending on your budget and how many people are coming, and if you're throwing an event like EPI last night, 600 people, you have the budget to bring in the decorations. And then the convention center, once you've done that, once you've brought in the decorations, you do some uplighting, you bring in CGI or another, or CMI, excuse me, or I don't even know what they're called these days. I think they got bought out, but the audiovisual company and you know, and you do some screens and a stage, blah, 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 you can really start to turn the convention center from being that big blank room into something even more spectacular at times, than even some of those charming little venues. Again, nobody's doing anything wrong. All these venues are fantastic for their own specific things. But, you know, when you really put a lot into a convention center setup, people do a good job with it. They really do. So last night, of course, no exception. So you walk in, you've got this happy hour area, and in it you've got intermingled tables, meaning tables all around the perimeter. And think like you're at a Comic-Con or a convention or something. Just tables all around the perimeter, and it would be like two tables in a row of auction items and then two tables in a row of cake competitors. And they had 18 total cake competitors. And they do two categories. They do professionals and they do amateurs. And you are defined as a professional if you are currently making a living as a baker. And you are defined as an amateur if you are not. And so what that does create is that does create a little bit, I would say one small bit of feedback I have is a couple of the amateurs are ex or retired pastry chefs. And so they're, you know, you've got true amateurs, people who just enter the competition because they love baking at home. And then you've got, you know, people who spent 13 years working at a bakery or even owning a bakery who now have moved on to a different career, but do this for fun. And you know, there's just a skill difference there, I think, or a talent difference. But that being said, the amateurs are kind of my favorite category because even last night, one of the groups of amateurs is this mother-daughter combination from Greece who just bonded over making this cake. Over the course of the last month, they put together the decorations and the concept and really just planned it out. And I mean, these people make some cakes that are, if you're wondering, it's on, I took pictures of every single one on my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram. I put these up. Pictures of all these cakes. These cakes are like the ones you see on the TV shows and in the movies. They're just these big, monstrous, you can't even believe it. In some cases, they would even be, I would think they would even be candidates for that show on Netflix called Is It Cake? You know, they're so good. Oh, God, yes, I'm sorry. Ugh. I'm so sorry. We're going to make this short because I wouldn't want to listen to this either. Guy coughs through podcast. My God. Anyway, the winner ended up being for the best overall, because there's an amateur winner and there's a pro winner and then there's an overall winner. And I'll tell you the truth off the top of my head, I don't remember all the winners, but the winner, grand prize winner, was the cake place in Avon. And these guys just did do an amazing job with this cake. In fact, I'm going to make you a promise. As soon as this is over, as soon as I get done recording this, I will post on my Instagram at Googza105, at GOOGS0105. I will post a picture of that cake, the winning cake, so you can see what I'm talking about. And if I do that as soon as I get done recording, then by the time you're actually listening to this, that'll be on there, so we'll be in good shape. But it was just a phenomenal cake, tons of detail. Even the taster cake, because I was a judge of this competition, and you go around and you try a bite of every single cake. Even the little cake they make off to the side that is for the judges to try, even that was spectacular. Honestly, the taster cake that this place made was better than some of the other cakes. Like, you know, just incredible. So good. So they won for a grand prize, and it was a great event overall. I'm the MC, and at the beginning, there's a little room for the MC to be, you know, be the MC, right? There's a lot of sort of housekeeping stuff to do, but at the beginning, there's a little room, and I had really toyed with getting up to that podium, and I'm thinking, of course, what can I do to get the loudest laughs or the biggest joke? And I just want to break the ice in a high energy, funny, put everyone at ease way. And so I had come up with a couple ideas, and of course, like, my original ideas were to make one or two little jokes about the Sandra Dorley situation. But then I saw some people that I look up to big time and trust prior to the happy hour of the chocolate ball, and I ran the jokes by them, and they were like, funny, but I don't think you should do it. And so, you know, I was like, okay. I skipped the jokes. It was the right call for sure. It was a, you know, I was just, I don't know. I'm like a go for it kind of guy. I'm always like, hey, listen, get the big joke, get the gag. You know, a lot of people that would have thought it was funny, but some people might have been offended. I don't really know. Here's, at the end of the day, I'm not looking to offend anybody. So I was like, you know, let's get, so I went with a PG joke. Like a very rated PG joke. And so what I went with was moist. I said, hey, we're at a chocolate cake competition. We need to make a decision here as a group. Are we or are we not using the word moist here this evening? And that, you know, got a friendly little chuckle. But again, nothing special. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we have a guest star appearing on the podcast this morning. Please welcome my co-host and colleague, Leo Guglielmo.
No, King Magnifico.
Oh, I'm sorry. King Magnifico is here. King Magnifico from the movie Wish, of course. This is Leo's alter ego. He sometimes appears as King Magnifico. Hello, King Magnifico. What's going on?
We just had a wish granting ceremony.
Okay. Come a little closer here. So you just had a wish granting ceremony, King Magnifico, upstairs? And did you grant some wishes?
Yeah, I granted Mommy's wish.
Oh, what was Mommy's wish?
I can't remember.
That's okay. That happens sometimes. Mommy's going to Buffalo today for a baby shower. Did you know that?
Yeah. And I also have a sidekick, Buns of Steel.
Oh, Leo has a Hot Wheels Buns of Steel, and this is your sidekick? He helps you with the wish-granting ceremonies?
Yeah.
Okay. And is this a cape that you're wearing?
Yeah.
That's right. Because you're the king. You're King Magnifico.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to tell the people? This is ladies and gentlemen, by the way, that are on the podcast right now. Yeah, that's who we're talking to.
That's like the season?
Yeah, that's who we're talking to.
Yeah, the people who like watch the season with Oxy.
That's right. Anything else, my love?
Just that I like to have wish-granting ceremonies.
That's right. He likes to have wish-granting ceremonies. Thank you, King Magnifico. Okay. I'll be up in a little while to start making sauce. We love the movie. It's a Disney movie that didn't... It came out last year. It didn't hit big. It's funny. I was looking it up. It did like $300 million, but to Disney, that's like a failure. Any other movie, they would kill to do $300 million, but this movie did $300 million. It's called Wish. It's a cute movie. It's a Disney movie. He went to see it in movie theaters with his mom last year, and he's just obsessed with this movie. We have it. Now it's on, you know, Disney Plus or whatever. He watches this movie, I'm not exaggerating, 10 times a week, and he loves to pretend to be the characters in the show. And so he'll act out entire scenes as they're going on the screen. And I did tell you guys this, and I'm going to not know which camp it is, but I'll tell you where it is, and you can maybe you'll figure it out. We did end up signing him up for a theater camp for this summer. It's the one that is in Winton Place near Fox's Deli. whichever one that is, that's the one we signed him up for. He's going to do a whole week of camp, and then on the Saturday they do a, you know, a production of the show. They're going to learn a show, and I am really excited about that. I really think and hope that that was the right move. He's just showing so much interest in that, in what, you know, in what's on the TV screen. He's just not just sitting there staring at it. He's acting it out. You know, I just think that's so cool. So, by the way, I went to Fox's Deli in the last week or two for the first time in a really long time and got a pastrami sandwich. And I mean, I just don't sleep on that place. That is such a good soup and sandwich joint in Rochester that has just been there forever. And unfortunately, when things have been there forever, we tend to take them for granted. But just so good. So good. Pastrami, and I think I had chicken noodle soup. I mean, as simple as it gets, but just, again, so freaking good. So anyway, chocolate ball last night. Yeah, all in all, really good event. It was a beautiful moment, too. They surprised a longtime member of the organization with an award last night. He's a guy who's worked really, really hard for, I think he said he's been there for about 20 years. This will be his 20th year running their camp. And he didn't know it was coming. So that was a really sweet moment. Really, really sweet moment. And yeah, so long story short, just a really wonderful night last night. It is gala season. And I am trying desperately to scale back on the amount of events that I commit myself to. But unfortunately, two of my favorite ones are back-to-back. And so this coming weekend, I have yet another gala that I'm emceeing. And this is the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Make-A-Wish is one of those organizations that I love that. I just think that's such a fun, how do I put this? Because fun is not exactly what I think of when I think of children going through battling illnesses, but it's a fun, unique solution to how to help. That's what I would say. And so Make-A-Wish is the type of thing that when I finally cycle off of one of my current boards, that's a board I would join in a heartbeat to replace when I cycle. I don't have room for another one right now in my life, but when I do, that's one I would jump on for sure. For sure. Other things that are going on in my life right now is the fact that I am officially under 1 month until I go to Singapore. Have I talked to you about that yet? Yes, I am going to the International Rotary Convention in Singapore, and I am having a one-night layover in Tokyo, Japan, and then 5 nights, I believe it is, in Singapore. Maybe it's 6 in Singapore. The travel is crazy. I mean, the travel is so crazy that I think I'm going to not be able to keep a real handle on what day it is at any given time as I travel. But the way there, I think I basically lose an entire day because I'm going to a place that's like 12 hours ahead in time. But it's confusing because I'm traveling west. I'm going Rochester, Chicago, Chicago, San Francisco, San Francisco, Singapore. So I'm back in time, then boom, jumping over that line where you actually go ahead in time. But then on the way back from Singapore, it's Singapore, Tokyo, Dallas, Charlotte, Rochester, which is going to be a nightmare of travel. It's like 30 hours of travel. And I am like gaining a day. I was trying to do the math, and honestly, it's going to be like a 48-hour day for me on the way back. It's crazy. And it's going to F me up big time. I'm getting to Singapore an entire day ahead of time just to sleep and catch up and try to get on their schedule. And then same thing when I get back to Rochester. I'm getting back to Rochester, if everything goes according to schedule, on like a Thursday night, and have not signed up for anything until the Saturday morning, just to give myself an entire day to sleep and try to get back on our schedule. But people have told me who have done these trips, they've said, dude, you're looking at 3-4 days before you even feel like you're back on schedule. So anyway, I'm looking very forward to that. Singapore is going to be great. I can't wait. I just think, what an opportunity. I mean, when was I ever going to get that opportunity? And this is, again, why I love Rotary so much. As president-elect, that's my right. I get to go to this convention. Rotary in general covers a lot. It's leaders who are interested in giving back to their communities. But because it's all leaders, Rotary is essentially the criteria to be a Rotarian is you have to be a leader. But because it's all leaders, it's basically leadership training. So I really have found a lot of stuff that I've done in and through Rotary to be huge for helping me as a leader at my company. Which brings me to my final topic of the day, my company and the construction that we are currently doing. And my business partner, Tom, and I had our first meeting this week on which we got the news that we all knew we were going to get, which is, it's so funny because everybody told me this. Literally everybody told me this. And it was, what's your construction going to cost and how long is it going to take? Yeah. Add 10% to both of those things. 3 months and X amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Add 10% to the money and add 2 months to the time. That's what everybody told me. And we basically found out we're a couple weeks behind. And, only 5 figures. But we're 5 figures over budget right now because of this and that. There's just always a reason, right? It's just, oh, well, we didn't know about this, and then we found that out, and that cost this, and then this other thing we didn't know about we have to do that's going to cost that, and it's just like, ugh. But there's construction people protect themselves because they basically put in a clause in their contract that makes it so they can do that. And the clause is the most ambiguous clause you've ever heard, which is something called like unforeseen challenges or something, which basically means it covers them for, if you think about it, covers them for literally anything they didn't think of. They're covered for under that clause. And so I, you know, not a huge fan of that, but at the same time, we did go in knowing there was no way it was going to be on time or on budget. It's just actually become real now that it's not on time or on budget. So they're still saying 5 months. They're over budget by a little bit of money, 5 figures, which is not a little bit. Don't get me wrong. But we're still, bricks are going up. Framework should be up later this week. It's, you know, it's an exciting time watching it happen every day. It's been very exciting. Okay, all right. I can feel myself kind of waiting as I waste even just the energy on this podcast. I can feel the cold is wanting to attack. So I'm going to cut this a little short. I do apologize. We'll be back next week with an interview. There's a new cafe down in Mendon, and I'm heading down there next Saturday morning to interview that gentleman. Friday late afternoon. This is Cafe Aaron in Mendon. I'm looking forward to talking to him. I love talking to startups, and that is what that is, and so I can't wait. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Have a great week.
Welcome to Behind the Studio Door, where we dig into the vibrant creative landscape of Rochester, New York. Hi, I'm Molly Darling, and along with my co-host Christian Rivera and our fabulous producer Chris Lindstrom, it's my pleasure to guide you through the dynamic world of our local creative professionals. Each episode offers a unique glimpse into the studios of those who enrich our Rochester community with their artistic vision. Join us as we explore the diversity and talent in Rochester, revealing the compelling narratives and creative journeys that exist just beyond the studio door.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.